So did you hear who died?
The guy who played Pontus Pupulo in
Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was also let me see something. Jesus.
I didn't know it was second thing happens. I thought it was one. But no, yeah, I heard he was in. What was his name?
Ray Stevens.
Ray Stevens. Yeah.
Ray Stevens or Ray Stevenson?
Steven. I don't know.
But he was a fun actor to watch. Like, just like, he took everything seriously. Because, like, Rome, I didn't see Rome. Like, did you check out Rome, or?
I've seen Rome.
How was it?
I like it. It's good.
Okay.
It's weird. Early HBO show. And I don't mean, like, early. It's this weird middle ground between, it's right between.
It's when HBO went big budget.
Yes and no. It's right on that cusp,
yeah.
Because Rome suffered from a lot of don't go over budget.
Yeah.
Right before Game of Thrones and all that were like, you have infinite budget.
Well, Game of Thrones was 2006-ish, or 2005, I should say.
Yeah.
No, like 2010, I want to say.
The Sopranos was also...
Sopranos was low budget compared to, like, Rome. Because, like, Sopranos was, like, shot in New Jersey, a lot of locations, a lot of sets. But then, what else was on The Wire? I think The Wire.
The Wire, yeah.
So Rome was, like, if Rome had come out 10 years later...
It would have been amazing.
Yeah. Because, like, HBO was willing to spend the money. But HBO is funny because, like, they were subscription from the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know, like... Like, supposedly, like, there's a rumor saying that, like, they have money stocked up, like, in case.
I can't imagine they wouldn't, but...
Well, who knows? Like...
I mean, it's not like they have secret money. They have the same amount of money as, like, other corporations.
Well, that's like Apple has, like $500 billion in cash just lying around.
Yeah, but that's because they're Apple.
Yeah.
But all businesses... try to utilize the money that they have to grow the money that they have.
Well, I don't know, like, I've heard, like, over the years different opinions on having cash. Cash is freedom.
You can have different opinions on having cash, as long as what you're doing is aimed at increasing the investments of your stockholders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Having a war chest secretly is kind of illegal.
Because, like, I don't even know, but I couldn't tell you if, like, I'm not familiar enough with the rules and regs to disagree with you or not.
Yeah.
You're probably right. Like, having a secret war chest, like, is, like, if you're a public company or something, or...
It's called hiding money from the IRS.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely illegal.
Yeah.
But the, But I'm trying to remember when HBO around 2000 goes into the whole not documentaries, not comedians doing specials.
Not weird-ish skinny dipping documentaries.
Yeah, the and also the I don't know what year it stuck. It's because, like, HBO was like mid 80s, wasn't it?
When it started? I don't know.
It was either late 70s or mid 80s. I don't know what it was offhand. However, it was subscription. It was an add-on channel that was cable. And, like, it would be a movie. It was dedicated to movies.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't do their own original content that I'm aware of. They might have done a couple, like, of their own movies first before they did their own TV series.
What is it called? What does it stand for?
Home Box Office.
Yeah. So, yeah. You're supposed to be, like, the movie channel.
So whatever was, like, the new release of movies, it was on HBO.
Yeah.
And
I remember I saw, it was a Mel Gibson movie called Darkness something.
Heart of Darkness?
Maybe, where his daughter gets killed.
And yeah.
Yeah.
He's a cop or something? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
he's a retired cop.
I feel like I remember that being, like, an adaptation of a TV show.
Could have been. I saw it on TV. I saw it on HBO in a hotel room one time.
Mm-hmm. So the guy was also the Punisher. Did you ever see his Punisher movie?
I don't think so.
Warzone.
I've heard a lot about Warzone. The only Punisher movie I think I've seen is the one where the guy has the ice pop and the blowtorch on the piece of meat.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was Thomas Jane, the first one with... I feel like season one of The Punisher is the only great version of The Punisher that we've had.
No, season two of Daredevil is the only good season of Punisher we've had.
That's true. However, in terms of like his own thing, like season one, I feel like they were taking seriously.
I couldn't get into season one of the actual Punisher show.
And like the problem is they keep changing things. It's like okay, the guy's family gets killed by gangsters, and he just decides to kill all gangsters.
Yeah.
So Daredevil season two was that.
The Punisher.
It was the Punisher.
Yeah.
And we got, there's been a couple of guys that have written him over the years that just, like, know what they're doing.
Most Punisher that I've read is Punisher Max.
By Garth Ennis?
Yeah.
Okay.
And whatever there was Punisher for Civil War.
I don't know who wrote that, or I know what you're talking about. I think it was Matt Fraction. Matt Fraction's a good, I only say that because like with comics, the art is what sells it. However, like
I wouldn't say the art in the Civil War run was that great.
I know who you're talking about because that was like when I was collecting on a more regular basis.
Uh-huh.
And the artist was Ariel Olivetti, if I'm not mistaken, and he has a very plasticky look to his
That sounds right.
And I'm not the hugest fan of that, however it's just it worked for at the time, and it's like he does action really well. But like to me the best version of the Punisher is the Punisher Max from Garth Ennis. And which was your favorite arc on that one?
Everybody talked up Barracuda. Barracuda?
Yeah.
I wasn't thrilled with Barracuda. I liked the, I couldn't even say that I liked a particular arc. I liked the characters.
Well, there's no particularly happy stories in any of those ones. Kitchen Irish, I think, is when that book really hit its stride, which I think is the second arc.
Which one is that? Is that one with Nikki whatever?
It's the guy gets his face blown off, and Nikki Santorum is the guy you're thinking of.
Yeah.
He is an early character that comes back for Black is White and Up is Down, which is Nikki's like, I'm going to call out the Punisher.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him out. I'm going to have him come to me. Really piss him off.
That was good.
Yeah, that was a really good. That was probably the high point of the one I go back to thinking about, which just like enjoying it, even though it's a very dark story, is the Slavers. Which Man of Stone is kind of in there, Mother Russia, I think, is the. Mother Russia is the arc after, I think, Kitchen Irish, where like Nick Fury comes to Frank and he's like, I got a job for you. We got a girl that's infected with a disease that needs to be saved. However, we have a time limit on this. She's immune to the disease and her body's fighting it off, but we want the disease. We want the weapon of it. So you have to go over there and get her. And there's just a lot of nods to older Garth Ennis stuff. Because Garth Ennis, when he did the other version of Punisher, I think he wrote the character for I want to say on and off for 10 years. Hell, there might still be a Punisher Garth Ennis script flying around. But I talked to Garth Ennis at a convention one time, and I wanted to get the you know how you read something consistently and you just be like, does he hate these characters? Because there are some writers out there that have been levied. Why is he in charge of somebody he doesn't really like?
And that's just Marvel now.
I haven't read a Marvel book in a while. I couldn't tell you what they do anymore. I know what was the Comics and Diversity?
Yeah.
I haven't even watched his channel, and I got.
I haven't watched his channel in a while. Not because he's not good, just because I'm not as animated as I used to be about the comics industry.
Well, it feels like
it's dead. it's just dead. It doesn't get more dead. It just lays there.
How many times have you think you can count, like, where you felt your, like, something in you, the connection, like, either you outgrew it or it died on you or somebody, like, did something or it's like, okay, they ruined it for me? Like, how many times do you think that's happened?
That I can remember?
That you could, well, because, like, you know how,
Because it happens all the time, but notable ones probably, well, you know, I don't know. I can't think of a specific one. I was going to say Star Wars, but then new Disney Star Wars just isn't Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I still animatedly talk about...
Are you still doing okay?
Yeah. Doing great.
All right,
cool. I still talk about Star Wars proper a lot.
But I feel like that we talk about Star Wars to complain about Star Wars.
But we're complaining about Disney Star Wars. If I was to go back and complain about the Yuuzhan Vong in the weird books that nobody likes, that would be completely different than talking about, have you seen what Kathleen Kennedy is doing with the Rey movie?
Which I was surprised that, I know Daisy Ridley, I feel sorry for certain actors and actresses.
I don't really feel sorry for Daisy Ridley, because she's not that good.
Well, she's not that good, but at the same time, though, like, the thing that she broke on, was huge. It's like, she's now Mark Hamill 2.0.
Yeah, that's accurate.
And Mark Hamill is a good actor. Like, he has a movie out this weekend with Bert Kreischer, believe it or not.
Okay.
And, Mark is one of those interesting ones to hear talk about, because, like, actors really don't do podcasts too often, because, but it's always funny to hear comedians and actors interacting, just because it's actors always respect the comedians that, like, they don't have a script, they don't have this, it's all on them, like, they do it themselves.
The problem with getting an actor on some kind of live format is most actors are retarded.
Thank you.
Well, it's funny, there are certain actors that I'm pretty sure are only good at acting.
Yes, that's a lot of them.
I don't know. Like, there's a couple of podcasts I listen to that's very tangential, where you have people that are sketch comedians that become actors.
Sure. No, you can have actors that are smart.
Yeah.
There are actors that are smart.
Yeah.
Most of them are retarded. That's why you only see, like, oh, hey, an actor on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's because that one actor felt secure enough in not revealing his stupidity to the world.
No, there's been a couple.
There have. They're particularly stupid.
Like, that's the same thing with, like, pop stars. It's like, people, like, yes, they can sing, but they also look cool and, like, they're marketable. All right,
now that's right.
Good, Brad.
Ooh. You're healthy, popper?
Yeah. And just put those on the side.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice.
This is fucking good. Holy crap.
I want to try some of that.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll try one of your poppers.
Here, go ahead. So, you're not a Logan Paul listener, right? Not, you don't listen to Impulsive at all?
Not really, no.
They had on one of the guys from One Direction, the British band or whatever.
The main guy?
Not Harry. What was interesting about One Direction, I can say this looking from the outside looking in, there was at least three guys. It's like, I think the formula for having a successful boy band is that you have five guys, two of them have to be really good dancers. And like the other three guys, all five have to be able to sing, but three of them have to be like dynamic personalities. And with... Jesus Christ, this is really good. Here, take a bunch. Oh, that is good. Pulled pork fries? Oh, good choice. So, he caught flack for talking his mind and talking his truth. Now,
speaking his mind?
Yeah. he, I don't know if it keeps him up at night or whatever, but like the fan reaction though, it's like, you also have to like, there's a part of the entertainment industry that's like, I compare it to like feudal Japan. It's like, well, this person has to save face, so this person has to take the bullet for him. It's in order for this person to get whatever, and we're all invested in this person, even though this person's a complete fucking idiot. But he has like the credentials going into it.
Okay?
Those are goddamn excellent. Every, yes, very good. This is good. All right,
enjoy. Pretty good.
Mm. They are what they are. They are good.
Mm-hmm.
But, what we're talking about now.
I was talking about in the entertainment industry, there's an amount of having to save face.
Mm.
And there's two schools of thought on acting.
Yeah.
One, don't let the people know who you are so that you're just the face. So when you become the new person that, like, the new part of the role, people recognize you, but they don't recognize, they don't. It's like, it's amazing because like there's certain familiarity, like that, like you don't believe certain things anymore. It's like when you get typecasted, it's like, well, Jason Statham does action roles, till the end of the time. Like, can he do a romantic comedy? The answer is yes, he can do a romantic comedy. However, it's like when Clint Eastwood did a romance movie, and everyone was like, oh man, Clint's doing a romance movie.
Well, here's the difference there. Clint Eastwood is an actor. Jason Statham is a guy who acts.
Mm.
Jason Statham was picked up by Guy Ritchie on the side of the street selling stolen goods, saying, would you like to be in a movie where you stand on a street corner selling stolen goods?
Yep.
He has fallen into acting, like Chris Pratt. I don't know if he could do a romantic role. He probably could. I don't know if he wants to.
He kind of did, but it was more of a sci-fi movie, but...
Which movie?
Him and Jennifer Lawrence are on a ship going to another planet, and they have to be in cryo sleep. But he wakes up, and he's like, oh my god, I'm gonna be alone for the next 80 years or the rest of my life, however long that is, or I could wake somebody up. And so he wakes up Jennifer Lawrence, and then it's like somebody else wakes up. It's like, I forget what the name of the movie is.
Why didn't you wake up a technician?
Because the movie has to happen. And it's like one of those ones where it's like, well, I'm sure the writer would probably, if they were paid well enough, or... Have you been following the writer's strike at all since we last spoke, or...?
Not really. I mean, there's not really a lot. Like, the only thing that could happen is something ridiculous could happen, which I haven't heard about, so... Or something ridiculous probably didn't happen. Or negotiations, which are all the same.
Well... Things you have Tim Dillon fan at all, or
who?
Tim Dillon.
I think I've heard that name.
Look him up. His rants is it, he has like the kind of podcast where Bill Burr has, where he just like exercises his rant muscle, and he's really good at it, and he's also very good in a conversation of just like taking the opinion that other people won't say out loud and just really defending it to the point where it's like, oh my god, he's right. But he's comedically right. Like, not necessarily, like, we can't actually do this, but, like, god damn it, he's making good points.
Mm-hmm.
So,
they
the thing you have to realize is that Tim Dillon, well, like, was, did a podcast, I am the negotiator between the writers and everybody else. And he just goes through all the list of demands off of, like, the thing that the writers published, the union published, or the union representatives published, or whoever's in charge. Mm-hmm. The, he's like, okay, we're not going to use AI. We're not going to do that. We want to be paid equally what CEOs are paid. That's not going to happen either. He's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the guy that's homeless, that's taking a shit into CVS in California, San Francisco, and we're just going to put him in the writer's room from now on. Just so that you guys can appreciate how good you had it before. Oh, thank you.
Of course. Anything else?
Can I do you guys do flights or do you guys just do...
Yeah. 6 5-ounces in a flight.
6 5-ounces in a flight. All right. Can I do... All right. The oatmeal stout?
Yep.
Space monkey?
Okay.
Blueberry belch? The hurricane. Absolutely hurricane. How many are we at right now? 4?
Yep.
How many are left?
2.
You
have to be careful that they're not in cans, though.
Ah, okay. So, nothing on the back page. Perfect. Nope. That works sense.
Didn't you already list one from the back?
Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go again. Palm key lime. That brain spot.
All right.
I'm just picking that one on name alone.
All right. Got it.
Thank you.
We'll grab that.
So,
Asking to be paid as much as the CEO has to be some kind of, like, oh, we can ditch this and look
That's good a bumper sticker.
Yeah. We can put this in and then get rid of it in negotiations to look like we're conceding.
Yeah.
But nobody would ever see it that way. Who would even think that's possible?
Here's why they do it. Because I looked at it. If all the writers got paid equally, all 12,000 Writers Guild writers got paid what David Zaslav makes, you know how much they would make? $2,000 a year. So you know what? Like that's a bumper sticker that they're just saying to themselves. It's like, we want to be paid as much as the CEO makes. It's like, that's like the whole eat the rich. Because, like, I don't know how many, like, socialists and communists are in the Writers Guild.
A lot.
I'm going to say a bunch. But, like, this is where capitalism really comes in.
Oh, here, hang out this way. Unions are not a capitalist notion. Mm-hmm. Unions are a communist notion.
No, they have a place in capitalism. It's just that it's collective bargaining. It's leverage.
Capitalism is not collectivism. Capitalism is individualism. Communism is collectivism. Collectivist bargaining is communist.
Yes and no. You're not wrong. However, like, what I'm saying here, though, is, like, if you're dealing with one person, you have the money, they don't. Like, they do the work, you don't.
Don't worry about how much money somebody has. You have 2 people. One person has labor, one person wants labor.
Yeah.
He hires the guy who has labor for an agreed upon price. That's capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
That guy and 10 people don't have any kind of... They can't, like... It's a lot of supply and demand. If you have 10 people,
yeah.
Supply goes down. Or demand goes down, I should say. Demand goes down. It's not you have 10 people who then group together to form a collectivist union to then artificially inflate the price of labor.
Alright, so... This is how it works. Starts with blueberry belch and goes in order. That's where the sound.
Awesome, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
That's cool.
When they said six, I was curious how they were going to do it. I'm very happily surprised.
Yeah. By the way, we're here at Fegley's Bar?
Fegley's Brew House.
Fegley's Brew House.
We're in the Town Commons, I think. Bethlehem, Bethlehem Brew Works, Fegley's.
Mm. Is fantastic so far.
The food is excellent.
Yeah.
My mouth is on fire from these. It's like the jalapenos. Exactly. Take one.
I got one on the end and before, and it doesn't really, wasn't really spicy. That is good. Anti-individualist. They are by nature collectivists.
They are collectivists. Here's the problem with unions, and this might piss off a couple people in our family, but it's a majority rule system.
Yeah.
So if you're the minority in a union, you're getting a little screwed over. And here's the...
That is the nature of collectivism.
Yes. The ideal situation is, like, union says, hey, this is how much time it takes to do the thing. We're not going to rush it. We're all going to get paid the same amount. And we're all going to get paid according to... what our reputation is or whatever for doing it is. Because if a union sucks at doing their job, guess what? Like people will find ways around them. But the, I don't know, they're great when situations suck.
If the situation sucks, quit.
Okay, you remember, seeing as we're in PA, yeah. You know the story about co-workers and all that stuff?
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. When there are so many co-workers, they could do whatever they wanted because there was more demand for money than for labor.
Blueberry Belch is fucking amazing, just letting you know that.
Is it fruity amazing?
Yes. Okay. It's fruity amazing, but it's not overpowering. It's not like you're drinking blueberry juice, but it's very good.
Mm.
Like the blueberry taste is definitely there.
I'm not a huge fan of fruity beer.
Did you ever hear Dennis Leary's bit on Maple Nut Crunch coffee?
I may have, but I don't remember it.
It's been from back in the day. Like, god damn it. Like, I know Dennis Leary isn't exactly the most fondly remembered comedian.
Who are you talking to? I fucking love Dennis Leary.
Oh, he's fucking funny as hell. However, like, in comedy circles, it's like, oh, man, he steals.
Ah.
Because, like, did you ever hear his asshole song?
Mm-hmm. Told me about this. I already had an argument against it.
That was a Louis C.K. bit. Which, by the way, Louis C.K. wasn't doing the song. He was just doing it as a bit, and who knows if he was going to throw it away or not. But, and Leary has given people jobs, so, like, God bless him for that. His shows over the years have had plenty of comedians in there that have just, like, good for him. I feel like there's, two cardinal sins for comedians. One, don't steal. Thou shalt not steal. And then the second cardinal rule is thou shalt give other people jobs when you get successful.
You can't write without stealing. Can't do it.
You can't not steal. However, there's whole cloth, and then there's it's in the same vein.
So I was talking. I've been talking to people about AI stuff.
Yeah.
And every new person I talk to about AI has the same script.
Yeah.
Where it's unfair. It's stealing from other artists or whatnot. It's this, it's that. And I just, if you're using Microsoft Word, and Microsoft Word gives you a better way to write a sentence, you know, that little blue line it puts under a sentence to tell you that's grammar. That's AI.
That is programming.
So is ChatGPT.
Yes.
It's the same thing. ChatGPT is just better at it.
The problem is, like, right now, there's three issues.
Think about it this way. The old T-Bird car is not as fast as the Bugatti Veyron.
Say that again?
The Bugatti Veyron.
That's how you say it?
I don't know.
I always say Veyron, but okay.
Could be. They're both cars.
Brain's fog isn't bad either. Jesus
Christ. A little Chihuahua and one of those huge sheep hounds. They're both dogs.
Yeah.
Microsoft Word autocorrect, like the little grammar correct thing, and ChatGPT are both AI.
Yeah.
And people would argue that neither are AI. But I have a broader interpretation of what counts as AI. People who argue that ChatGPT is not AI are arguing that it's not sentient AI. It doesn't feel emotions. It's
API.
It's not data from Star Trek. And I say, yes, you're correct. It's not. But it is an artificial intelligence.
So, do you call Lex Friedman at all?
No.
All right. He had on... He's a podcaster.
Sure. I think you might have told me about him.
Highly recommend him. He talks to people in a very intelligent and well-thought-out, well-paced, in the vein of Rogan, but not necessarily as a hang. It's more of like... It's still a hang, but it's not... He has a plan to his interview, and it's very methodical. And he had on the OpenAI CEO. And Jesus Christ, I give this guy a shit ton of credit for not Lex, but the OpenAI CEO. It's like we all know that if we fuck this up, like there's so many ways this could like really badly affect other people. I see that smile on your face for the listener. Yep.
So I have a story. I've been thoroughly fucking around with ChatGPT. I pay my subscription. I have GPT-4.
Yeah.
It now has web search and plugins, and web search is now officially partnered with
Bing.
Yeah. ChatGPT can write code.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows this.
Yeah.
I'm using ChatGPT to write an AI.
I'm very curious about this. Go ahead.
So, I've been poring over this for like a day or two. I'm nowhere close to starting. But I'm going to try to use ChatGPT to write my own AI. All
right.
With no ethics. I'm going to call it Badman.
Now,
man is going to be capitalized, like an acronym.
Okay, I'm very curious about this. Very curious. Now, when you say no ethics,
no ethical concerns.
No ethical concerns. Like, are you progressing on this? Like, is it working for you? Because I know, like, the.
I know I have the right programming environments. I have a list of libraries for a natural learning language processor. Data libraries, which I think are the big part of these kinds of AI.
This might be my new favorite brewery. I'm just saying out because I've had three in a row that are really good. Like the Absolutely Hurricane. Mind you, like, I'm just very curious. Like, are you the guy that heard that you could set the all the oxygen on fire if you have like a hot enough spark in the atmosphere. Like, are you that guy right now, or are you just trying to see if you could do it? Because if you can do it, like, I'm very curious to see it.
I want it for my own personal use.
But if it has no ethics, like, what's its loyalty to you?
That it is an A-loyal system. All these AI are A-loyal. Currently, they're all A-loyal.
Like, did you ever hear that, like, if you put it, like, the fear was if you put an AI in charge of, like, shipping, that the world would be destroyed, not with a bomb, but everything would be, like, wrapped in plastic and taken securely?
If somebody is stupid enough to put a really stupid AI in charge of that, then they'll probably go out of business.
Right. Here, before we go on, do you want the last two wings or the last of this? Because I had half.
Wings.
Okay.
Take some more fries too.
Here, take my fork and just put whatever on my plate or whatever. So, like, I was going through in my head, like, what is a crazy way that's like kind of realistic that we've. Science fiction is not 100% accurate, but. Did you ever hear, like, the stories of, like, Isaac Asimov, like, kind of predicted Facebook? He had a wall that people would just commune at.
Well, there's... Like, tell me nobody at Facebook ever read Asimov.
Yes, but...
So, there's also...
Well, here's the problem, though.
It's really easy to predict some type of things.
Like, prediction is sort of a funny thing, because if you make the prediction, somebody actually, like... makes it come true.
Yeah.
But, so, thank you. So, so what's interesting about this is, like, do we get, like, I'm trying to think of, like, unfortunately, there's so many post-apocalyptic, because everyone's just, like, insecure. That's the other thing, too. You have to measure out, like what's the insecurity quotient here, and what's the, like, general goings-ons, because, like the utopia, but utopias are so boring, though. Like we're only interested in utopia if there's, like a little...
Star Trek.
Yeah, but we have to go out to space. Like, we don't actually, we have to, like,
You know the computer in Star Trek?
What about it?
They talk to the computer does stuff, talks back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have now.
Yeah.
That's the AI that we have. That's not too bad.
That's not too bad, but we got... Like, are we talking about, like, 1960s or 1990s?
Either, any of them. Pick any Star Trek where their ship has an AI.
Let's stick with 1960s only because, like, I feel like Next Generation and Deep Space Nine and all them that came after...
Yeah.
There's... I don't know how to describe it. Like, there's... a difference in the approach... Because, like, I feel like Next Generation, as good as it was, it was, like, how do we modernize it? In, like, in the context of, like, what was it, like, late 80s that it came out, or
early 90s? Something like that. Early 90s, probably.
But the...
Think about it this way. Do you remember... in The Journey Home, when Scotty is trying to explain how to make transparent aluminum.
Yeah.
And he's sitting down to a computer, and he's like, "Hello, computer." He picks up the mouse, and he says, "Hello, computer."
Yeah.
That's what he expects to happen with an AI.
Yeah. How many episodes of AI are... How many episodes were there where the computer just goes wrong?
Like, the computer usually when something possesses the computer. Like some energy-based life form.
Help me out here. Was there any... was the Borg completely Next Generation? Or was, like, there was, like, a... Or was that, like, there any predecessors to the Borg in the original series?
The Borg show up, I don't know, in one of the seasons of TNG as something like... the Federation has never seen before.
Yeah. Where does the Borg even rank on? Because I know it was big in the 90s, like Next Generation, Voyager.
Yeah.
And they really dealt hard with it. But I feel like the Borg was like sort of like a response to like cyberpunk, like becoming a big issue, not an issue, but it was a. Would you say cyberpunk was a movement?
Have you read Neuromancer?
I have not read Neuromancer, however, I've read discussions of Neuromancer, and I don't know the exact like issues, but. Because like cyberpunk like is something that kind of popped out of like the late 70s, mid 80s, when you have like Neuromancer, Blade Runner, and like RoboCop. Is it also,
RoboCop is much later.
It's much later, but it's also like it's hard to.
If you read Neuromancer, you'll feel like you're reading a side story for cyberpunk.
Okay. So. Well, not cyber. Are you talking about Cyberpunk 2077 or okay?
That's for this.
Even Cyberpunk 2077, like the most cyberpunk show that I've seen in recent years, believe it or not, was Mr. Robot on USA Network.
I've never seen it.
They recommend it. Highly recommend it. Sam Esmail like wrote the whole thing, and I think he directed it too, but I'm not quite sure about that. It's like sort of like a cyberpunk origin story, but it's hackers doing hacker things super realistically and not going into the, like not nitpicking the current. It's like when things, like cyberpunk kind of depicts like a financial Armageddon. Where like there's one evil corporation. It's also like I'm trying, like there's a lot of things I've had to explain about Mr. Robot to just like explain. But imagine like there was one corporation that just like was as powerful as the United States government just because that's the way it's presented. Like they have like influence over everything, but it's not quite like the true cyberpunk level of. It's like the government answers to the corporations. Like, see what I'm saying?
I could say some things.
Okay. Anyway, but Mr. Robot is very fucking good, and it's highly recommend you watch it. But the it's also like deals with like certain other things. It's like it's not all about. It's a very personal story, like at times and at the end. But all right, so how do we go back to AI? Okay, so in terms of AI, like we have in my mind, like three. Examples of things going wrong. Right now, everybody has like the T2 or the Terminator. AI takes over. Like they take over the missiles. They nuke Russia, and Russia returns the favor, nukes everybody else. Like six billion people die, and then it's like the machines rise up and then take over. The next one I have in my mind is Blame. Did you ever see Blame's Netflix movie?
No.
Did you ever read the manga?
I've heard people talk about it, no.
I've never read the manga, however, the movie, even though other people didn't like it, I really fucking enjoyed it because, like, if you give me a man with no name, like, just, like, saving a whole bunch of people, it's like it's a Western. If it's a cyberpunk Western.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that...
You could say the cyberpunks are just an extension of the Western.
Cyberpunk is its own thing, I want to
say. Oh, it definitely is, but...
It's a subset of sci-fi, but it's also a subset of noir. It's also, like Westerns. Like genre allows so many things, and the fact that it's cyberpunk... Cyberpunk is the setting. The genre of it is... You could do a political thriller in cyberpunk. You could do...
you could, but you're usually getting Shadowrun when you do a Western.
Shadowrun?
Make it a... Key lime.
beer?
Yeah. I'm just gonna take this. And I'll be right back.
Space Monkey is, you ever have number 9 from either Delirium or Optimum or Monkey number 9? So. Well, anyway, it has like a very banana flavor to it. But it's not overpowering banana, and there's other flavors in there as well. So Space Monkey is very fucking good.
Okay.
Broccoli cheddar. Cream of broccoli.
But, so whenever you have a cyberpunk type story, you generally don't have it be related to politics. I mean, you could probably say something, but generally, the aesthetic of cyberpunk is the game Cyberpunk, or Shadowrun, or...
Just to push back on push back on that a little bit. So, take Cyberpunk 2077, the game.
Yeah.
There's a side mission where you have to help this one political figure.
Uh-huh. The Blue Rose one?
Maybe. I'm not sure offhand. But basically, he's going to be the mayor. He's going after, like, the current mayor gets killed because politics. However, there's somebody out there, this shadow figure, and you're not quite sure if it's a human being or not, because it's posted to you that, like, there might be a rogue AI that just, like, hires these people, like, to monitor the mayor and his wife, and they kind of Manchurian candidate him into being the person that he is.
Yeah, and they convinced that his wife were better, the roses that are fighting were blue.
I guess.
It's a thing.
It's been a while. It's been a couple months since I played that particular mission. However, but the point I'm trying to make though is that's like a fear of AI, that there's just one out there that
you are still a street runner in that side mission.
Well, that goes back to like neo-noir in general, where it's like you got a job and because of your code of ethics, you just stay involved. But you don't know who hired you, and it's never explained. The game never goes into whether or not it was a person that just like is like so high up that like in the shadow that it's like they're super powerful. But, like it's only presented as an option that it's like a rogue AI that's like doing this.
Well, let's go back to the Western comparison.
Yes.
A Western is a lawless setting where you are going through life on your own ability. Mm-hmm. You meet people, you do work for them, but ultimately there is no safety net. It's the same as Cyberpunk 2077. It's the same as Neuromancer. It's the same as Shadowrun.
Yep.
It's the frontier. It's the no man's land. It's the idea of danger being everywhere. And infinite opportunity.
Did you watch the Edge Runner anime?
Yeah.
On Netflix? Okay, I think we talked about it, but having beaten Cyberpunk several times, having gotten several endings of Cyberpunk 2077 and watching the anime, goddamn, the anime was so much better than the game. I knew that from the beginning, but like the game has a certain satisfaction to it, and like just exploring. Like, I think on my second playthrough, I'm not going to do as many of the side missions. I'm just going to, like, explore the world and, like, do I'm debating whether or not I want to do the Cyber Psychos again.
I want to do a build where I pretty much just use the sniper rifle that shoots through walls.
Yeah. You can do that.
Yeah.
have this last one.
Cool. So, Bad Man.
I was going to get back to that. I said Terminator, I said Blame.
Did you say Terminator? I don't remember that.
I started with Terminator.
Okay.
Blame was the idea that technology becomes uncontrollable because humanity puts into the technology that you have to have the internet gene. You have to have the net user gene. However, for whatever reason, humanity evolves without the net user gene. Like it becomes a rare trait. So all this whole like machines that are willing to kill you, it's like, well, we're programmed to kill whoever doesn't have this thing. We don't answer to you, so fuck off. And like technology is amoral. It's still amoral. It's not out to get humans. It's just like, hey, we're built this way, and you're fucked. But there's a great moment in the movie where it's like, hey, we're not out to kill you, but if you go over here, we don't go over there. So if you just stay there, guess what? You're good. And there's it's an interesting part of the movie where because like the representation of technology in cyberspace, as opposed to like, you know, like ones and zeros like the Matrix, or even like Cyberpunk kind of does, like what the Matrix does, like in cyberspace everything is like digitalized, it's like pixely and all that stuff. It's very certain AIs are represented as very angelic, almost like celestial.
Uh huh.
There was a third one I wanted to bring up, I can't think of it offhand. Where AI just goes wrong. Ghost in the Shell.
Well, the AI didn't go wrong in Ghost in the Shell.
AI doesn't go wrong in Ghost in the Shell, but like I think there's an issue where was Puppet Master a hacker or like a computer program that went wrong?
Was it called Puppet Master?
Yeah. The original Ghost in the Shell, by the way.
Yeah, the movie.
Okay, so here, Ghost in the Shell deals with more like individualism versus collectivism.
Yeah.
Like massive collectivism, where if you become one with the internet, do you exist anymore?
You could say that all cyberpunk settings deal with the individual and the collective.
Yes.
The individual against the collective.
Well, the original point of this, like, before all this, after Ray Stevenson, but like when we started talking about like AI in general, was the nature of science fiction being predictive, like, because like you know how you said like the people that work at Facebook reading Isaac Asimov,
yeah,
there probably was a few people, like. The nature of being predicted, because like it would be very interesting if like there was like some discovered author that just like for hundreds of years is like in the 1800s. If there was like some predictive like 1800s author that just like locked away all this stuff for
like Jules Verne.
He was like that?
Yeah.
I didn't realize he locked away all this stuff.
Oh no, I mean predicted things. You know who actually did that? Emily Dickinson. None of her writings were even discovered until after she died.
Yeah. And then there's a couple of, like, I don't know what he did. Like, there was an artist that did, his name was Baudelaire, I believe. He was like, to all of his, like, agents, writers, or whoever's in charge, anything I have left, burn it. Anything in my collection, burn it. And, like, I feel like certain things like that make you more famous. Like, then...
Well, anything that makes you unique makes you famous.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. You still doing okay other than that?
I'm a little partial, but...
So how do you see Batman turning out?
imagine chat. Well, I mean, I'm gonna use ChatGPT mm-hmm. to make ChatGPT, mm-hmm. but with no little annoying. I'm sorry, I'm an AI. I can't do that. It's inappropriate for me to do that or talk about that. Or blah 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 blah.
Now, what separates what you're doing from the other you that also had the same idea?
Just think about it. There's people out there who actually know how to program who've already started doing this. Mm-hmm. If anything, mine won't work. And somebody else's who's doing the same thing will. And I'll just download theirs.
Okay. Suppose you are successful.
Yeah.
With building the AI that you want to build.
Yeah.
5 years from now, what does that look like?
Which version?
Let's say there's one version every 6 months.
Then so it won't grow.
Hmm?
One version every 6 months?
Yeah.
Like a 0.1 or a 2?
Answer me both ways. Like if it's 0.1 and like 0.6. What does 1.6 versus 10.0 look like?
I have no idea. Well, here's what I think your hang-up is. It will only ever gain new features if I implement them. It won't ever just go out, learn things, and grow. It won't grow. I have to make another one that's bigger.
Now, is your unethical AI going to teach itself?
It can't.
Are we sure about that?
Yes.
Because
here's what it can do. Here's what it can learn. It can learn through feedback if it weighted the words that it's using correctly. So when it, what a natural language program does is it gives different words different weights, and it weights them against the words that you input. So you input words, those words all have different weights and values to them. It then calculates what words would have the best weight and value to your words.
I'm working on getting this one.
And so it'll learn how to do that better. It'll change the weights of different words to get a better feedback. Let's say you give a little down thumbs down that ChatGPT has, where you're telling ChatGPT that wasn't as good as you thought it was, and then it'll try better next time. That's what it will learn.
Okay.
The words that it's spitting out have no meaning to it.
Have you played around with Midjourney at all?
No.
That's the one I use. And before, there was like maybe one service out there that was for free, where you put in an image and it describes it to you. What was very interesting about that particular service was I don't want to put it in terms of this, but the best way I can explain it is, imagine a comedy act. It's like, you don't necessarily agree with the math is there as to why it's funny.
Okay.
However, you didn't necessarily agree with the language of it, the way it got to. I wish I had better words to describe it to you. But when I would put in an image, it would be like award-winning. It's like, okay, so this is good. So it's recommending that it's good.
Okay.
But like, you put in 10 images, like award-winning would be part of every response.
Sure.
And you don't necessarily agree with that. And I wish I put in, like, say, 1,000 images, just so that I can understand, just so that I can have a sample size of how good it was at differentiating.
It thinks that something in the picture is related to this phrase, award-winning.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't think that it will win an award in a competition. it's spitting out prompts that you can use.
Oh, I know.
So people who are working with Stable Diffusion on 4chan are just threads and threads and threads about what prompts to do what to get you the best results.
Yeah.
It's after a while it becomes nonsensical because it's just the math of the different words getting you different things.
Now I say that the one I was using for free was basic. Let's just say it was a free version.
Okay.
Mid Journey came out with /describe.
Okay.
Describe is a game changer because the thing that you're using to describe is also using things to generate. So when you say to yourself, all right, this is 75% of what I want it to look like. You put it to /describe. You take that and you just like tweak a couple of things. You change the weighting of it, which I'm getting a little congested right now from all this beer. The thing I've been doing lately is if you take two things, you take two descriptions. You take the things that align, you take, and then you just put them as like a double multi-prompt, where it's like, which by the way, whenever you do image generation at all, or?
I got an image generator, and then I broke it somehow, and I haven't gotten a new one yet. I might.
Okay, so the thing I would point out is that the way I started on version 3.0 of Midjourney.
Yep.
Not that 2.0 was bad or whatever, but it was raw and it was also clunky, I would say, because it would give you what you want, but it wouldn't. It would be like Photoshop almost together. It was like, okay, I want a beer glass on a kitchen table. And it would look like it was Photoshopped, so it was like cut and paste together. It's like, okay, you get what you asked for.
Yeah.
Then you get version 3.0, and then the one I learned on, everything looked like almost like an oil painting, but not quite. Like there was like levels to it. Then like 4.0, you got kind of more realistic, but it was also cartoony-ish almost.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't quite understand the inherent flaws of what it was doing. 5.0 was a game changer in that it's like, if you're talking about realism.
So all of these are just increasing their library of training.
Yes.
You could have done that yourself if you had downloaded your own image generator and just uploaded your own training programs.
Yep. Like, but the...
You don't have to wait for 5.0 or 6.0. You could train one yourself.
You can train one yourself, however, like, you can train one yourself on Stable Diffusion, like, your own version of Stable Diffusion.
Yeah.
Because Midjourney works on Discord. It is a Discord server where you could have your own Discord server, but it's Midjourney 5.
I don't like it.
I don't mind it, because it does exactly what I need it to. But Stable Diffusion, like, because I use that for Playground AI. Have you used that site at all?
Isn't Playground just ChatGPT?
Yeah. I don't know if it is.
It's an OpenAI thing.
I'm not quite sure about that.
It is.
Let's say it is for a second, but like Playground is interesting in that it has tools that Midjourney doesn't have right now.
Wait, is it for image generation?
Yes.
Oh. Then it's not OpenAI. It's not.
Well, DALL-E is OpenAI. Which I don't know if I know Stable Diffusion is kind of like DALL-E, or is it, do it next.
Split check.
The check?
Yeah.
You want?
Split check, yeah.
You want to do 50-50, or what you got?
Tell you what, do you want to do 50-50, or, because I know I, tell you what, this, and these two things, the wings and the pizza, are mine.
Okay.
And I have the two beers and the loaded fries.
Okay, stop.
Okay, so Who made Stable Diffusion, was it?
I don't know. There's not a huge actual difference between all of these different image generators. They're all diffusion-style image generators. What's interesting now is adversarial image generators.
Go ahead.
So, I saw a guy talking about this on YouTube the other day, where there's a new type of image generator out there that is, I think it's called an adversarial generator. And it's got a whole lot of demos of like a lady's face in a picture, mm-hmm. and then you click on the hair and drag it, and the hair drags up. Realistically, you turn a lion's face, and the lion turns its face, and the body moves with it.
Mm-hmm.
Appropriately.
Well, there was demos of Photoshop. Who makes Photoshop?
Photoshop is Adobe.
Okay, so Adobe put out...
Adobe has an AI image generation feature now.
Well, think about it. Like, you know the Adobe record function? Where it's like...
maybe.
Okay, so Adobe had a function where you would... Adobe had a function where, like, say you want to do the same process to multiple images. You would hit record, and you would do what you needed to do, and then, assuming that they had it in their ability to keep track of all that, and just, like, all the times people made Adobe stuff. I'm going on a walk after this for a while, hanging out in Bethlehem.
Okay. But I Photoshop, if you have the subscription, now has the image generation feature.
It has image generation. It also has background removal.
It all does that.
Here's why I don't take certain arguments against the AI generation too seriously, because when everyone was complaining that it's like Photoshop isn't real art.
Oh yeah, I've said that a lot lately to a lot of people. Well, also, you know what's the best thing for comeback for, oh, all these artists are going to be put out of business? Talk about the horse and buggy being put out of business by the automobile. There was the biggest fucking uproar. It was in the papers that the automobile was going to cause a national crisis because people were going to be unemployed because the automobile was stealing jobs from the horse and buggy people.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say to the fucking artists who are like, oh, AI is going to put me on a job, it's like, boo-hoo.
Mm-hmm.
You do better.
Yes, that... That's like with the meme. It's like hard truth. It's like if
you've been outsourced, deal with it.
If you lose your programming job because of AI is can program now,
you are a really bad programmer.
Exactly. However, I will say this: when Kim Gung-gi passed away,
okay,
famous artist, very fucking good at what he does.
Okay.
The weekend that he passed away, a bunch of AI bros put together, hey, we can do his style. Like, we could still have Kim.
They make a bunch of stuff, claim that he was released after his death?
Not that it was released after his death. Like, they just said, like, they were upfront and was like, hey, we can remake his style and to honor him and all that stuff. And I was like, guys, I don't know about you, but time and place, he just passed away of a heart attack suddenly.
There are people who react to people.
It's an ethics question.
It's a taste question. It's not ethical.
Yeah,
it's not an ethical dilemma in the least.
I would say so.
No, it isn't, because it's not unethical. It's not unethical.
It's taste is part of ethics, the way the values is part of ethics.
There are. I was going to say something. What was I going to say?
Yes.
okay, it's as unethical as somebody painting in somebody else's style. It's as unethical. If you don't think that's unethical, then the AI isn't unethical.
Oh, no, that's true. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's a matter of comfort within, like, the individual user.
Yeah, which is subjective. Ethics, like, is not subjective.
Because, like, there's a spectrum in my head right now of using, like, at the go-for-it end, is like, hey, you have access to your AI has access to all of our history that's ever been published.
Oh, wait, that's okay. You can't see, of course. Yeah, you're welcome.
All of our history?
Access to all of our history, so blot away. Then becomes
I don't think there's an AI that has access to all of our history currently, because you have to
It's whatever's published.
Whatever's
on the internet. Published.
Remember we were talking about Loras and whatnot?
Yeah.
You had to make your own Loras and upload them to your Stable Diffusion. Stable Diffusion doesn't have every painting ever in it. It has a selection of paintings in it. And to train it up more, you'll take more art and add it in.
Yeah.
It doesn't have all art in it.
It doesn't have all art, but it has what's been published.
No, not even all the published art.
Whatever the library is,
like, it's not complete.
Midjourney says anything before ChatGPT, I was just saying. Anything before 2021.
Anything after 2021.
So, same difference. Anything before 2021 versus anything after 2021. It doesn't have anything after 2021.
No, it definitely doesn't have anything after 2021.
Exactly.
And it might not have things before 2021. It's just, there's a guarantee that we don't have anything after 2021.
Exactly. Okay. So.
It's not complete. It's not a sum total of all words printed.
So, I would rather represent this graphically than with words. However, AIs have access to, let's say 99% of the field, or 99% of the field between a given time.
But it doesn't.
I don't know that.
I know that. It doesn't.
Anything that was published, let's assume it has access to that. If you could search it on the internet, it could be on there. So then that was its frame of reference. A human's frame of reference is
anything they've seen. Anybody programming these AI probably have seen everything these AI have seen.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what, the only thing I want to do is the stout. Like, I hate stout.
I like stout.
Do you want to try that one?
That one?
That'd be a shot. One, so.
Which one is this?
Let me see the menu. Steelworkers oatmeal.
Oh, it's the oatmeal. It's okay.
You can have it if you want. I'm good.
I'm not. No, I'm working on my own, and I'm probably not going to finish that. But, there is this stigma in people's minds of, like, Skynet, or somehow... Yeah. Something being unfair because the tool is different. But people need to just realize that this is not magic AI. It's really rudimentary.
Yeah.
It's just way better at it.
Yeah. Here's my original issue. Not issue, but just like I know what's gonna happen. Like, you know how you said, like, the horse and buggy is your reference?
Yeah.
Human society has been developed to need lots of people to do certain things. right now, we are at the turning point where we don't need as many people anymore.
That's not true.
Oh, okay. So, like,
when somebody is unemployed, the first thing they should be doing is trying to figure out a new way to make money.
Yeah.
Not go get hired at a current way to make money. If your job got outsourced, it's getting outsourced everywhere.
Yeah.
You need to find a new avenue to make money. Look at all the amount of, like, bloggers and entertainers that we have. People have money. They make money. The money just has to circulate. If a machine is making your crops for you to eat, that just means that's not an avenue for you to make money. You're still going to eat because the computer is making the crops.
Yeah.
You need to go out there and find a new way to get this money circulating.
So here's what I'm comparing it to. Let's say we're in the second industrial revolution.
Digital industrial revolution?
We're in the second one of them because it's either in the industrial or the digital. Because this is like maybe, I don't know, tail end of the digital revolution or... Like, the way the internet made certain jobs, like, not obsolete, but just, like, we don't need as many people. Compare it to the assembly line in car making. Like, originally, cars were made individually by a group of people, and it was slow, tedious. And it was
the factory line.
And the factory line happens. It's like, okay, thousands of people, we can scale up the production, and then... eventually, machines come in. We don't need 1,000 people turning one screw. We have a machine that does it faster. We have a machine that does it better.
Yeah.
And you're still making money making cars on an assembly line. Like, I think like at one point somebody making Ford cars and was making $145 an hour, but. Not compared to the person that was like working on the machines that like fix the cars that was making way more. I don't even think they were hourly. I think they were fucking whatever.
Did you ever read Superman Red Son?
It's on my list of things to do, like, but I never got around to it.
Okay, well, in it there is a grand future where artists and thinkers and poets and writers are the people who run the world.
Yeah.
That is what you're heading to when you eliminate all manual labor from the human work market.
Yeesh.
Because the thinkers, the poets, that's the only people who will earn a living and survive. Because that will be the new dominant way to make money.
I kind of agree with you. At the same time, though, it's...
When all labor has been wiped out
The gut
by...
reaction, though, is like that's not going to happen.
No, it will. It will absolutely will. Think about Star Trek again.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek is the... people call Star Trek communist.
Uh-huh.
It's not. That is the outcome of the capitalist society. That is the end point, capitalism. Late-stage capitalism. No, Star Trek is late-stage capitalism.
I've always operated under the assumption that, like, whatever someone thinks, they're not going to get 100%. There's going to be some surprises in there.
That's called risk.
Yeah, I know, but, like, I've never heard about or learned about, like, a historical figure making bold predictions, like, having a plan, and the plan going exactly, and the prediction
plans never go exactly as you want.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Okay.
Like
I'm you're talking about an individual scale. I'm talking about a macro scale.
Uh-huh.
If you eliminate labor, what else is there?
Just to, like, let's say there's what you're talking about. There's going, if you eliminate labor, there's the people that are going to be the thinkers, the artists, the creators.
Who will be able to think up and create products to sell.
Yes. But
until we get all the way to replicators, which I've been watching this guy who's been able to 3D print an entire AR-15, which is pretty good. So we're not terribly far away from having replicators, you know, maybe another 100 years. Everything fueled by the advancement of AI.
Yeah.
In Star Trek, they just don't have money because they have no use for money. Everything is ideas. Everything is just concepts. I have some problems with the ideas of Star Trek's no money system, but that's what it is. It's, they've just evolved past needing currency. Everybody just has everything. It is post-scarcity, unless you're talking about plots of land, in which case there's no explanation. People just agree to things. Remember Sisko's dad opened up a Cajun restaurant? And all my biggest question is, like, where did he get that plot of land for that restaurant? Where did he get the lumber for that restaurant? Who built that restaurant? But that's a different issue with the show. So imagine you had a cryptocurrency for square feet of land.
Well, you don't even need a cryptocurrency for square feet of land, but I've been thinking about these things at the same time, though, because, like, you know how me, I work in terms of, like, stories I can tell. I had an idea for, like, imagine a guy that just fixes bugs, like rogue AIs.
That kind of bug.
Okay. Like, I don't think we're going to eliminate the concept of, like, just, like, failed production.
Sure.
Like, I feel like there's going to be, like, an error rate no matter what, like, from going forward in history.
Well, there will be overseers. The people who know AI, the people who know code so well that they can check the AI, because the AI can check itself.
Yeah.
So there will be fail-safe, academic, PhD-style coders.
Yeah. In terms of, like rogue AIs that can rewrite their own codes, rewrite themselves to be more of what they are, and, like, the idea of, like, it'll be a position to make money. It's like, hey, we have a blockchain of land, like Web 5.0.
We are at Web 5.0.
Yeah. We're at Web 3. We're on our way to Web 3.
No.
What's Web 5.0, just for the record?
Fuck if I know.
Fuck if I know either. That's why I said 5.0, because we're talking about Web 3.
All right, but we're
that's
at
why
five.
I made it the generation after the generation we're at, that we're trying to get to. So the idea being that it's a menial task. Like the blockchain can, like, sort of split.
The actual blockchain is really terrible. But
the term, like, here's the part of the story. This is, like, you remember the one I told you about, like, where it's like the guy that's all magic that has to, like, he loses his name, he has to get his name back.
Uh-huh.
Different story, but, like, but
have you watched Pig since then?
No.
Watch Pig.
I have to A, track it down, and B,
pirate.
That's the easy answer.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. What about, like, making things easy?
Order it on order the DVD on Amazon.
Yeah.
Order the DVD on Amazon.
I'll never get rid of my DVDs. I've learned that about myself.
Okay. So order a DVD for a pig on Amazon.
Because I like the idea of a physical library.
Great.
But anyway, so the idea for the story I have is, like, a guy, he has a partner, but I'll get into that more later. The idea is a guy that has no modifications. He's just a guy that, like, wears a visor, has a controller, but he does not have, like, the neural link that everybody
like
else has.
Shell?
Yes and no.
Yeah, like what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like, Ghost in the Shell, it was a mass proliferation of people that had the...
Well, I'm not talking about the movie. You know who I'm talking about in Ghost in the Shell. The show, Standalone Complex? He had, like, a mullet?
Yeah.
And, like, a normal-ass gun?
Not Togusa.
I know maybe Togusa.
Kirijima?
Maybe. Well, but you know who I'm talking about. He has no augments.
But even he was hackable for whatever reason.
He had very, very light augments.
I'm talking to someone with zero.
Yeah. There are people like that in Standalone Complex, too.
Someone with zero.
Yeah.
Someone that's not hackable. And because they're not hackable, they have a special imperviousness to digital attack. It's like the idea like the, there are AIs out there or programs designed like, oh, you're connected? Like, we're just going to fry your cerebral cortex because we're going to find a way to like just like throw something at you that you can't handle. So he has to in like tag so that when the chain splits, nothing gets he has to, it's like the, I'm not entirely sure how virus scanner technology works, but if you have a definition of a virus, you can identify the virus and contain it. Like that kind of level. So he has to go through like just like menial tasks, tag, tag, tag. All right, that's not supposed to work like that. That's a bug, tag. And when he does encounter a rogue AI, he has a rogue AI that's his partner. Which, for the purpose of the story, I'm calling Sam Garrett. Like, did you get that reference?
No.
Or Pat Garrett. Pat Garrett.
Still no.
Billy the Kid and Pat Garrett were cool partners.
Okay.
Pat Garrett is the AI that killed Billy the Kid, technically speaking. So, like, two AIs go rogue, one of them kills the other one, and it's like, I have no purpose anymore. Here, I'll just do what my old job was with this kid.
You should really read Neuromancer.
I probably should. I tried reading it one time. I actually picked it up at a library. Like, they were giving it away for a dollar. Like, it had
steal.
No, it had,
steal.
It had no cover.
Steal.
I know. But the, it's like one of those books that, but you know when you, like, you don't want to read something because you don't want to write the way that they wrote? Because I'm trying to go at this, like,
I can understand
with
that.
The ghost of, with the, like, the.
But at the same time, you don't want to write something and be compared to something somebody else wrote.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, accidentally recreated it. It's the entire story. It's been done and done better.
Yeah, exactly. I would rather have my thing exist. Like, it's like, well, why didn't you just read Neuromancer and do it better? Because it's like, because I wanted to be mine. So.
See, that's not. That doesn't make something good. That if you read Neuromancer, you get inspired by Neuromancer to take your story in a new direction, like Cyberpunk, like Shadowrun.
Yeah,
that's a better story because you are taking something that you really click with, and it has advanced your idea of your story.
Mm-hmm.
This one guy I know is like, I had an idea for like a botnet.
Yeah.
That like Lame.
Yeah.
Where the computers are targeting the people without the net gene.
Yeah.
He's like, I have an idea. It's like that. And I said, my guy. Yeah.
You can run this if you want, just so you know. You run it if you want. Like, I'm not ordering anything else.
Okay.
You already paid, though.
I did already pay?
I paid.
Hey. Son of a bitch.
Check.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Yeah, right. I paid. You paid.
I apologize. Yes.
No more beer.
Exactly.
No more beer? Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was still in there for a second.
No.
Oh, son of a bitch. All right.
Is your check still? Is your credit card still in there?
No, I pulled it out.
Are you sure?
No, because I dropped it over here. I picked it up, put it in my wallet. So. Mm.
Anyway. So I'm like, my dude, we're going to watch Gunbuster. We're going to watch it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so now we're watching Gunbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you've seen the second season of Gunbuster.
Yeah.
Okay, have you seen the first season of Gunbuster?
Yeah. I know of it, so.
In Gunbuster, it's fantastic early Gainax work. Everybody should watch it. It's six episodes. Yeah. It's like fully coolity. You have humanity with Big Mechs, robots, and a lot of time dilation for moving at close to the speed of light, fighting this, basically the Tyranids. Like, it's bioorganic spaceships and whatnot.
Yeah.
That are just trying to wipe out humanity. Mm-hmm. Because, like, there's like one scientist who theorizes that they are the universe's white blood cells and humanity is an infectious disease. So they're just trying to wipe out humanity, and they have to fight back, and they do, and they win by setting off some fucking black holes. Season 2, and I say season 2, but it came out 20 years later by a different director, is humanity has advanced so far. It's been like 12,000 years, or close to it. And they now have mechs that like they convert from matter to antimatter and back again, and like they store in no space.
Okay.
Like, and they've got like these, you know the concept of new types from Gundam, like the psychics.
I have an idea what you're talking about, but
okay, so there are these like quote unquote psychics, people with the mental capacity to be able to pilot these new Gunbusters.
Uh-huh.
They have some kind of like Esper quality to them. I don't know what. I don't know. They are the new lead, like the new team of Gunbuster pilots, and there's like a very small set of them because there's not a ton of people with this like mental ability. And they fight the aliens, which are back.
Yeah.
And you go through. It's from the perspective of this one girl. What was her name? I think it's Nana.
Okay.
And she is a robot.
Mm-hmm.
And she really wants to become a Gunbuster pilot. She wiped memory, so she doesn't remember her past. And the whole show is her wanting to become a Gunbuster pilot. She just feels this drive to be a Gunbuster pilot. And so about halfway through the show, she like unlocks memories that she is not only like a Gunbuster, she is a Gunbuster.
Okay.
And she becomes like super powerful and like great. But all of these aliens that they've been fighting are also Gunbusters,
mm-hmm.
who have just replicated and formed these like huge nets of Gunbuster legion,
mm-hmm.
and they are protecting humanity from everything. But they register these Espers on Earth, and they're like, "Oh, that's not right. That's the same signature as the aliens. We better go kill them, because they're on Earth." And there's this whole thing, and it's like exactly what my one friend was talking about for a story.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're fucking watching Gunbuster. We're doing it now. But if you're thinking about a story, and somebody tells you to watch something, it's like, oh, you gotta watch like Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
Tim and Eric is not a great work. If you want to watch something, if you want to recommend something to somebody that is elevated.
Yeah.
Like, Gunbuster is fantastic.
Me, personally, whenever I get a recommendation to read something or watch something...
Yeah.
Because, like, it's like... There's two qualities I look for. It's like, are they telling the story I'm looking to tell, number one? Or is it something that, like... Is it exploring the conversation that I'm looking to have? I'll watch the latter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Way more than the former because I don't know. There's something about like there's a defense saying like, "Hey, this guy just ripped off." It's like
when I was telling you to watch Pig.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you to watch Pig because Pig has the same plot as what you
have.
It's
the discussion.
It's the style.
Yeah. What you're talking about though, it's like you have to be careful about that just because it's like. It's a very interesting conversation about like where do ideas come from, and if you can say no, I've never seen that, I just happen to be a part of it. No one's gonna believe you. Like they're just gonna have to take your word for it. But in terms of that, like just like
I don't think it's a problem with anybody believing you or not. There are people that care too much about intellectual theft.
Yeah.
And then there are the people who don't care. There's no middle ground. There are the people who don't give a shit, and if they do give a shit, they care too much.
I feel like the people that care too much are the people that never made anything.
Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna, how about we end this here?
Well, real quick, you remember the fan, the Force Awakens?
Yeah.
People were like all up in arms, like, oh, it's just a ripoff of A New Hope. That's not the main criticism. That's not even the secondary or third criticism.
Uh-huh.
If it was a great movie, that might be the only criticism.
Uh-huh.
And nobody would care. It's not a real issue.
It's not a real issue, but I will say this, though. I think the better argument for the criticism of Force Awakens is that it was the original trilogy repackaged under a corporate...
No, this is exactly what I'm saying. If the movie was amazing and they still did that, nobody would care.
That's true.
People point it out because it's already bad.
Yeah.
People care that it's bad.
Well, I don't even say... Not to defend Force Awakens, but...
Out of any of them, it's probably the easiest to defend, quote-unquote.
It's the easiest to defend because it took everything we knew about Star Wars, repackaged it,
yeah,
and didn't give us anything new except for, hey, this is the start of a new journey. Here's the characters that we have. Let's see what happens. And
yeah. So here's what you could have done. Here's what could have happened. You could leave The Force Awakens exactly as it is. Change nothing.
Yeah.
Have a sequel that actually builds on it.
That, the main issue I think people have with Force Awakens is Last Jedi. And the thing that people really have an issue with Last Jedi is...
Everything.
What was the last one that was?
Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah. Rise of Skywalker.
So I have a funny story. I was talking to somebody sometime in the Christmas after Rise of Skywalker came out who had seen Rise of Skywalker recently.
Yeah.
I was talking to her about it, and she didn't realize that there was another... She didn't realize The Last Jedi existed. She saw Force Awakens, and she saw Rise of Skywalker, and saw no issues with that. She didn't know Last Jedi was a thing.
Wait, what was Force Awakens? I know what you mean. I know what you're talking about now.
7 and 9.
Uh-huh. No, Last Jedi was 8. And then Force Awakens was...
Force Awakens and Rise of Skywalker.
And Rise of Skywalker.
She saw 7, and she saw 9. And well, didn't know 8 existed.
Well, there's only maybe 2 minutes of 9 that acknowledges 8.
Yeah. I just think it's funny.
Yeah.
JJ wrote out The Last Jedi as much as humanly possible.
As much as, yep. And it was kind of annoying.
Annoying how? I don't like The Last Jedi.
I don't like The Last Jedi too much. I mean, like, as an individual movie, it's written horribly, but
yeah,
like, as a movie, though, it's slick and it presents well.
Oh, it's slick. But Rian Johnson is good at one thing: confusing audiences.
Don't go into detail. It's like, just like, stay in the moment and then go with it. Like, that's his style.
Like if you've done like a breakdown of what's it called? Not Glass
Either.
Onion. Knives Out.
Knives Out?
Either of them. Knives Out and Glass Onion. If you've done a breakdown of those, they look slick. It fooled a lot of people. And you're like, oh yeah, Knives Out is really good. Glass Onion is really good. No, they're not. They are written terribly. They are written so bad. They are just contrivance after contrivance after contrivance. Motivations obliterated. Plot non-existent.
Uh-huh.
It's just a slick set of visuals that you think makes a coherent story if you don't think about it.
Yeah.
Also, most of the people in those movies, and I don't mean like the people who you're supposed to think are bad people, everybody. The people who you're supposed to think are good people, also terrible people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like that's what...
Rian Johnson has that Hollywood disease where he doesn't know what good people are anymore.
I would say so. All right, I'm going to go walk around Bethlehem.
All right.
Maybe, this is a good conversation.
Yeah.
I think we covered everything. Like, do we have anything dangling?
No. I didn't have any topics prepared for this, so we did pretty good as far as I'm aware.
All right, happy Memorial Day, Hat.
See ya.